Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. We're back again with another game review throwback watch party thing. I'm one of your hosts, Rob Huang, with my other amazing host, Andy. Andy, how you doing?
Happy birthday!
We are, yes. Thank you very much. We are recording on my birthday, April 15th. Also, America's Most Hated Day, Tax Day. Which isn't tax day this year, so you know, yeah. I guess I can live with that.
Celebrate, my friend. Celebrate.
Yeah, I'm celebrating with a lime LaCroix in my hand right now. So that's probably as that. Maybe there's a black cherry white cloth somewhere downstairs in the fridge, in one of the mini fridges because my fridge broke this week. I won't go into the details, but maybe I'll crack that one open at some point tonight.
Change that maybe into a certainly. Should have told me. I have tons of White Claw in the fridge right now. Did I tell you that this podcast is sponsored by White Claw?
Or this is one of the sponsors that we would want on the podcast. I think we could do what we could do White Claw with like Top Dog and our friends Toki Beer, and we'd probably have a pretty good like food and beverage type of podcast.
Yes. We got a shout out Top Dog. Support Top Dog. It's $100, $150 minimum, but I'm thinking if we could get people in on it, but then I'm like, I can't deliver it to people. So anyways, if you got $150, buy some Top Dog. I actually will use my refund for it. I'm donating my entire stimulus check
package
to local restaurants. So I didn't know Top Dog was struggling, so I'll do Top Dog, Pinto Thai, and I am going to do Phnom Penh because I love all three of those, and I want to just see this money go directly to them. So that's my plan.
Yeah. I mean, I think some people still don't understand the fact that if you don't support your small, like, local restaurants that you love now, they might not be here when normal life resumes.
Yep.
And, you know, so... that's the big thing. So yeah, please go out, support your small businesses. If you live in the Bay Area or in the East Bay, like Andy and I do, support all your small Berkeley places. Grant Merrick, who's a friend of ours for the SF Gate, he wrote a beautiful thing on Top Dog and their struggles right now. So that's why Andy's really doing that. Plus, Andy loves Top Dog. I do too. Yeah. I actually had no idea that they were struggling that bad, but I'm surprised that they don't do, like, pickup. Because I remember you could still pick up, like, their frozen dogs and, like, bread. Like, if you wanted to do, like, a barbecue. And, like, there was no minimum for that.
Yeah. I think you could probably maybe call and ask. But it's a tough business in this world, right? I mean, it's a lot of hand contact. So.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. I mean, and then all of your students are all gone. So, I mean, yeah. You know, it's not Top Dog seasonality is very much August to May, you know, and
yeah.
Summer is probably pretty light. But yeah, definitely support your local Top Dog. Get some chicken apples, calabreses, as I like to say, calabreses, hot links, regular good old tops.
Garlic Frankfurters.
I actually haven't had the garlic Frankfurter.
I really like that one, like just as a regular hot dog flavor. If I want to go like outside the box, I'll run with the chicken apple or the hot link. But like just a solid tasting like sausage hot dog, I think I always go with the garlic Frankfurter.
realistically, I'm going to have a lot of Top Dogs available, so maybe we'll have a barbecue. Whenever that may be.
Whenever that may be, yeah, maybe. How would you socially distance a barbecue?
We actually have a separation in our backyard, so I could put two people in that separation that live together, and us two, my wife and I over here. I can host four people.
Could everyone Zoom in and barbecue on their own?
Yes, with
like that'd probably be the only way you could do it.
With
right?
Top Dogs.
With Top Dogs.
I mean,
oh, why not? Why not? We're doing anything and everything these days, anyways. But that's pretty much our opening spiel that we wanted to get across. I think, you know, would you, Andy, looking back at it, like our first one 2 weeks ago when we did the 2007 Tennessee game. Now we're on another game now. But like, do you like this type of content that we're doing right now? Like, do you like rewatching these games?
I mean, what if the answer was no?
I mean, we'd have to think of something else to do. But I'm just getting your like thoughts of like, how's it been like rewatching like these old games?
I think we picked really two pretty fun ones. Well, it's gonna potentially impact some of, you know, it might have an impact on what I'm gonna say here in a little bit. But this one in particular, for me, was, you know, personal in the sense that I was going back and watching a game that I was on the sidelines for. A lot of it, mm-hmm. of this one, like of the 09 game, I remembered more clearly than the Tennessee game. Whereas the Tennessee game, I sort of like put it in my mind that we blew them out and that wasn't the case. This game, yeah. I remember being close, and I remember us being down, and I kind of remember the ebbs and flows of the game a little bit better. So that was actually interesting, yeah. just moving game to game. And I also noticed that the broadcasting for this game was terrible. So the versus guys were just awful. I mean, and like this was these are two underrated teams by rank. I think it was 25 versus 17. Was that it?
14, I believe.
For Stanford?
Yeah, I believe Stanford was 14. At least that's what the recap says on CalBears.com.
But those are always using. So, they tend to use silly ranks. Yeah,
whatever the higher one is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know which one that was, but that's what the recap says on CalBears.com. So I'm just gonna assume that it's somewhere in that realm.
So yeah, it felt like this game only got covered on Versus. You know, it was like, in this day and age, we do have better coverage options. This wouldn't be a Pac-12 network game. This game would have been on Fox. So to some degree, you know, we don't really celebrate the Pac-12 network or the Pac-12 conference. But, you know, our television options in general have probably improved since that game aired.
Yeah.
This is still
the Pac-10, right? Like, we're not even Pac-12 yet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure you've kind of picked up on what we're talking about. But Andy and I today, if you haven't read the title of the podcast, we're covering the 09 big game. Yeah, number 25 California at, I think, number 14 or 17 Stanford. November 21st, 2009. Attendance of 50,510. At the farm, the Bears pull out the victory 34-28, taking the Axe home. This was, I believe, our seventh victory in the big game out of the last eight from this year. I think we were 6 of 7 heading into this game. And yeah, I mean, from the top, like, man, this was on the Versus Network. Like, that network doesn't even exist anymore. Like, it's crazy. When I was watching it, and I was like, wow, this wasn't even HD. This was a 4x3, like CRT TV style, like frame. I had the black bars on both sides of my TV. And yeah, I actually watched this game at home on a TV. So I remember watching this game on Versus, but like, I mean, let's just talk about the game, Andy. From your, I actually wanted to hear your perspective of like what it was like with the team leading into this game, like what were practices was like what were, what was like, you know, the day before and the day of, like what were your like feels if, from what you remember.
Well, you're asking me a lot, asking a lot of my memory. One sec. So I mean, tough season, you know. Particularly, I think one of my notes was, you know, seeing Javid on the sideline. Brought back a lot of the memories of the year where, you know, this game, I don't know how many times I wrote it down in my notes. I wrote Shane game, Shane game, Shane game, Shane game, Shane game, Shane game, Shane game. Because it really was. I think I would say that this is the single best big game performance by any player in the history of the big game. Like, or on the Cal side. Pretty bold statement because I haven't even come close going back and looking at that, but I'm just going to ride with it and say that Shane Vereen's performance in this game was second to none. But I forget, you know, we forget about Javid and him getting hurt against Oregon State and how devastating that was to kind of the prospects of this season. And you can see why, because there was a little bit more of like of potential with this team. And then you kind of look at the role players and you say, like, for all the talent we had, man, our wide receivers were thin. Mm-hmm. Like, Alex Logman, I mean, who I knew. Like, I didn't know all these guys. I have to be really careful with this one. So this is I'm going to walk a very thin line. But, like, we had a lot of, you know, receivers that, like, Michael Calvin, who, you know, a lot of people, you know, two-star guy, but he what. You know, inside the team, a lot of people were really high on him. Tons of speed, great athleticism, great size. Just unfortunately, what didn't really have the best hands. And so we kind of had like just a lack of talent on the receiving side of the ball, like Nye and Boateng. Boateng, I don't mind talking about. I did not like Boateng very much. He was very cocky. Drove around the car that he said that Deshaun Jackson gave him. So apologize to the university for that recruiting violation. it's 10 years, right? The statute of limitations is passed. Yeah, we're good. So I think going into this week, I think the big game more so was salvaging a season. That Arizona game was close before the Nick Foles double pass. happened, and we just weren't. I you know, from what I remember that year is like we had these games where we just kind of didn't show up, and then we'd have games where we did. But the prep doesn't necessarily change that much week over week. In regards to, you know, maybe you're going to Oregon, so you pump a lot more crowd noise in. You're going to Stanford, so you don't have to deal with crowd noise. So I guess like it's heightened tension because I think this meant a lot to these seniors and you could tell, but other than that, it didn't necessarily feel like it was too different from prep for any other game outside of a bye week or the bowl game.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I figured. I mean, I've been to enough practices now to understand, like, you really want to keep your practice, like, feel the same as much as possible, just so guys aren't like heightened or like too down based on the opponent, that you keep it as consistent so that you can like manage just their mental like preparation as much as possible. So yeah, I totally get that. Yeah, and this was definitely the Shane Vereen coming out party. I mean, for me personally, like this game, looking back at it now, probably was for me like, you know, Javid's probably gone after this year. But, like, hey, man, if Shane looks really good to be the next guy up, if Javid were to leave, and he definitely proved it in this game. I mean, looking at his numbers, I think he had 199 yards gained. He lost 6, so he ended up with 193 and 3 touchdowns, a long of 36 yards, 4.6 yards per carry. Like, that's incredible. And then you look at the other side with Toby Gerhart, who was no pushover himself. 136 yards rushing on 20 attempts. 61-yarder was the long for 6.8 yards per carry and four touchdowns. Like, just simply incredible in terms of, like, the two running backs that were, like, on show for this game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a totally different version of what Harbaugh eventually, I mean, you know, the next year they changed it up pretty significantly. And, you know, Cal's D-line for 94% of the game completely stopped Toby Gerhardt. And the one big run was was a breakdown by the back two guys, Brett Johnson and Saquon Thompson, like both.
Yeah, they took, like, bad angles.
Played that really badly, yeah, and just got burned. And Toby's, like, not that fast, which is why his NFL career is so short.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, he. It was just sort of one of those things. Like, you take away the six. Like, they did a really good job against someone that was, you know, Heisman level. And Shane, those stats don't even include his receiving stats.
Yep.
And, you know, he was doing everything. He's running the wildcat. He's split out wide. He's beating Richard Sherman on the outside. Dude, he was ridiculous. And, oh, by the way, whoever, like, number 26 was on Stanford, like, went up elbows to the head on him down in the goal line.
Yeah.
And he just, like, you know, it's one of those things where I look at this game. Didn't he have, like, something like 43 carries or something ridiculous like that?
Shane had 42 carries.
Yeah, so I didn't even have to look that up. I just remember that. And I was worried for his health because I don't think he played in a game after that. Like, we rested him for the rest of the season.
Yep.
Because that's such a physical toll on a running back like that. He probably, you know, plays an extra year in the NFL if he doesn't have that game. But this is, you know, I don't know, one of the best games ever by a Cal player ever, I would say, in the big game. So it's pretty cool to go rewatch that.
Yeah, I mean, can we just talk about how objectively, like, how good Toby Gerhardt, like, as a running back was? Like, we talk about how good Shane was, but, like Toby Gerhardt in college was, like, a different animal compared to what he ended up, like, being in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he had the top-end speed to be, like, a stellar running back in the NFL. But, man, I mean, this was, like, the start of, like, that whole trend of Stanford running backs, right? Like, this was the big one. And then it also helped that you had a guy named Andrew Luck as your freshman quarterback in this game, who, by the way, looked pretty outstanding in this game, even as a freshman. Like, I always forget to remember, like, this was his freshman year and, like, how good he was.
Redshirt freshman,
yeah. As a starter, like, just how, like, poised he was, how good he was in the play action, like, you know, his arm talent, his awareness, like, it was just, you just, like, looking back at it now and after the years of me watching football, like, I'm looking at it going, wow, like, yeah, he definitely was, like, a star in the making. It wasn't just, like, a one-off thing. And, like, it's, man, like, even to this day, like, rewatching it, like, dude, that guy was really good, and I hated that he was this good. And he only got better.
I actually had a little bit of a different opinion. You know, I think it's because of the fact he got so good. And I view him, Andrew Luck, as, to this day, the best college quarterback I've ever seen him play in person. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll ever see anybody better. I think the only person that I thought was on that level was Lamar Jackson, but I never got to see him in person. And I actually thought that the most impressive aspect for me with Andrew Luck in this game had nothing to do with him throwing the ball. It had everything to do with how he runs. This guy, like, he moves like a running back. He deked the shit out of one of our guys. Like, it was ridiculous. I mean, he just has this vision when running the ball that I remember in college that he's just was so good at it. It was crazy to me. And yeah, I was actually underwhelmed with his passes. I thought he missed a couple open receivers on routes that he had him open, and, you know, he looked like a freshman. And he looked like a freshman with what you said. Good poise, good arm strength. But overall, I was like, wow. You know, I expected Luck to show better in this, and I think he was better in my mind because of the rest of his career. And I watched the tape. I was like, yeah, you guys, he kind of blew the game. You know, like, I wasn't surprised that they ran up the score on us in other big games, because I have a feeling that this loss might have hurt Andrew Luck, you know, pretty significantly, because he kind of lost some of the game. But
yeah, I mean, that interception at the end, right? I mean, that's like one of the like biggest Cal moments in the last 10, 20 years, is that Mike Muhammad interception. And yep. Like rewatching that play, like as it happens when we're watching the game, it's like, yeah, it's a freshman mistake. He didn't see the linebacker drop into the middle and just cover the route. He was like dead locked on Kobe Fleener the entire time. And then he also underthrew it too. So like Mike Muhammad just being right there right at the right time, it's just an easy play to make.
Well, easy play for Mike Muhammad to make. Devin Bishop, on the other hand, just could not possibly hold on to a football. Like, easy. So that was one of the cool things that I noticed during this game, was I had this sort of, like, moment, and, it was because I was watching Devin Bishop, but it's just noticing how much better our defense is now than it was then. And it's crazy because it's Bob Gregory, his D coordinator, who I always look back pretty fondly of. But you know, like, for instance, on that one play where Saquon makes a perfect play on the ball, pops it in the air, I mean, that's a pick 10 out of 10 times in the Cal defense of the last 3 years. Under Wilcox, it's a pick by any of the linebackers. Give me any of them that are the starters, and they all pick that ball off, guaranteed. And Devin, for whatever reason, just like doesn't have that awareness, and you know, it falls by the wayside. Huge play. And then I just think that there's no way that would happen in this day and age, and so that was an interesting reflection to see the differences there. And then obviously the pass later on that hits him literally in the hands, and it still pops up again and doesn't have the awareness to move forward and catch the ball on the second attempt. It sort of was like one of those things. It was very eye-opening to just go back and watch that and remember that. And I don't know. Do you see that happening in this day and age?
No, I mean, I had that in my notes exactly the same. I was watching particularly in the first half, our defensive backs have way better coached habits now than they did in this game. Like, just the small things that they do. It's just like, I'm just watching it going, why would you be doing that? Like, I guess like my textbook, like DB has like knowledge has come from, you know, GA and Wilcox over and Tim DeReuter over the last couple of years, that like I was watching this game. It's like, why would you take that angle? Like, why are you looking there? And it's just like those little things that I think make me respect this coaching staff that we currently have now even more. And that's the funny thing, too, is because I think overall, Bob Gregory actually coached a really good defensive game. Like, it was a very, like, well-played, you know, coordinator game. But then the funnier part was when Lewis Johnson, at the beginning of the game, is, like, you know, in the intro and pre-kickoff, talking about, like, how Bob Gregory, and he talked to Bob Gregory this week, and Bob Gregory said that, you know, he wanted his team to get back to the basics. And it didn't like show that on the field. They didn't have a lot of the basic fundamentals like down. It was very based on their athleticism and just because we were bigger, faster, stronger, to a certain degree on the defensive side, that we made up for a lot of this. But like, man, we did not like play very sound, like everyone has the same foundation of fundamental like attributes type of defense.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah. I mean, to continue on the coaching thing, holy hell, Pete Alomar, God, I did not miss that. Like, my notes are just so unkind. Pete Alomar was a terrible coach, and our special teams was shit with such good talent. But like, that's how I felt. I remember, I mean, like being on the team and watching Alomar with special teams and then having to go home to a bunch of like fans and explain like, why are special teams so bad? I mean, you have Giorgio, like we were literally shifting in Vince, Giorgio, and then at another time we had three that we were mixing in there because we just didn't have any confidence. And then we were having Giorgio do these stupid kickoffs that would go to like the 10 and like bounce,
yep.
And they wouldn't work at all. And then all of a sudden, like, it was just so obvious, and it made me so appreciative. One, Charlie Ragel's a blessing, and if you haven't said, you know, thank the Lucky Charms for Charlie, for Coach Ragel, like, you should say it now. And then on top of it, that we really haven't known special teams coordinators as much by name since Alomar. Like, we have, but we haven't. You know, it's like Ragel's kind of the one, and I think that's a good thing because, boy, Pete Alomar was terrible. And we just got whooped. I mean, absolutely whooped. There's just play after play on special teams that was absolutely terrible. And it almost cost us the game. At the end of the day, like, you have the kickoff at the end of the game, and it just gives Stanford amazing field position, and they drive right down the field to the 13-yard line, and we pick the ball off and win the game. But we would have lost that game on special teams. And we had the block punt against Brian Anger. Brian Anger, who is incredible, was like average that whole season. And I blame Pete Alomar for that. Like, there's so many things that I just remember being like, dude, like, Coach Alomar. And I think that's like a sentiment that's widely shared. I hope that I'm not like on an island here just like rambling about this, but I actually do think that that was a sentiment that was, you know, not just my own, but like revisiting that frustration of being, of dealing with that was also tough.
I mean, think about it from a special teams perspective. Our punter, one of our kickers, and our kickoff returner, all three played in the NFL.
Yep. Exactly. Oh, there's so much talent. Yeah. So much talent, yeah. There. And it was just, I think it was wasted with stupid things like not, you know, allowing a blocked punt, and kicking the ball to the 30 and letting him take it back. It's just, you know, so stupid. And then, God, Tedford was so conservative this game. Holy shit. Kicking the field goal down 14 on the road to a ranked opponent. I mean, literally, I wrote in my notes, Nick is somewhere like punching a wall, you know? I could just see it now. And it's like on the 2-yard line, and we kick that field goal. And then we get the fourth down stop, and we just third down, and like we're on the 11, and Riley runs to the left and downs it to kick a field goal. Holy smokes. Did you?
Yep.
I mean, immediately, yep. In my head, I just had Nick, like, almost with getting, like, cartoon red, where, like, the steam's coming out of the top of his head, and then just running and punching another wall.
Yeah, I just thought of Nick as, like, anger from Inside Out.
Yeah.
Where just, like, just explodes.
Exactly. Exactly. What was that? Did you remember that?
I mean,
I didn't remember that. Oh, it was so conservative.
Yeah, I did not remember that Riley took the knee to set up the field goal. And I was like, why did we do that? Why did we not just try and get more yards? I'm so confused here. Some of this baffles me. Like, even on that fourth down conversion late, like, we barely got that conversion from the sticks. Like, how close... like, I can't put into words how close that was from not being a fourth down conversion. And if it did not end up being a fourth down conversion, man, this game would have ended very differently. We like got in by what? Like maybe like an inch?
What did they say? Like a gnat's mustache or something like that?
Yeah. Or like an eyelash? Or something. Something along those lines.
That
the
versus announcers made, but I was like, I guess that works. It was very close.
Yeah. It's just something that's minuscule. Like we get what you're trying to say, but I don't think that's something that people actually say. I mean, moving on, I think, at least for me, I guess another thing I had in my notes is, remember when the Wildcat was a thing and how much we used it?
I remember.
like this is, we ran it so much in this game. It was it was like, I was watching the first half and I'm like, we're just direct snapping it to Shane. And it looks like he's reading the defensive edge, but it's clearly like not a read. Like it's a clear cut, like he's taking it and running it. And I was just like, wow, that, I remember that. Like that was actually like a big thing that they thought that that was going to be like the next future of the, of college football, right? Like the wildcat and just having like a running back at the snap and not having a quarterback in the game. And then kind of dissipated, I guess. It turned into like a lot of dual threat quarterbacks.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's so funny seeing all that. And really, you know, I can just imagine how pissed off Harbaugh was because he's like right before going into halftime, oh, we got to stop the run. They're like, and then they ask some silly follow up and he gives some silly answer. And then, you know, they didn't do any good job of stopping the run. We were able to really build long clock, you know, time of possession, controlling drives. It was awesome to see.
Yeah,
very awesome to see. It was like this painful grind that was super enjoyable. You know, if Stanford did a podcast on this game, they probably wouldn't have nearly as much fun. But, yeah, the Wildcat is definitely a thing. And we used it a lot. And we changed, like, you saw EC a little bit. So, Fele, Kovan, you know, Kovan had that one good burst run.
Yeah, that was a throwback to the past. I had not thought of Kovan Dabowski Johnson.
He's doing well. The kid's a pretty solid career, like, outside of football.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've seen him on social media around too. So, yeah.
Should we do a quick break for the ad roll?
Let's do it, and we send it now to Andy for our ads.
All right, quick break from our friends at Bet Online. With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, once again, Adams, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas directly to you. Missing the NFL? Not a problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. You can also still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, which I guess we're still thinking is going to happen. So it's all open 24 hours a day. And all online. Use promo code BLUEWIRE to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online wagering solution.
And we're back talking about the 2009 big game. We're just going through our notes here of how when we were watching the game. No, we weren't watching it together. We have social distancing. Andy was watching at home, and I was watching at home. But let me see what else I got in the notes here. Oh yeah, Kevin Riley's long ball was just not having it this game. Like it was that SpongeBob meme of just like the meme of like just like I'm out, like I'm out of here. It was not there today.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why we kept trying to go deep on the outside when clearly our game passing over the middle, like short over the middle to like our tight ends or guys in the slot, was working to perfection. Like, it just baffles me.
Yeah. I wrote it down somewhere here. I thought overall that Riley had a pretty solid game. You know, there was a couple of misses, and it was really interesting seeing his statistics leading into the game. So, like, start there. Like, when he had 15-5, like 2,600, dude, we would take that in 2 seconds with last year's or the previous year's defense. Like, any defense in the last 2 years, and you take that kind of production from the quarterback position, and we're probably looking at 8, 9, 10 wins. So it's like, damn. but, you know, that's a pretty big cognitive leap. But overall, like when I came to the end, I was sort of thinking that like I thought Kevin had a pretty good game. I thought our pass protection was actually like really
he
bad.
Scrambled a lot.
Our run protection, super good. Yeah, but like most of the time, like Kevin got through his drop and there's a dude there. And, like, there's people grabbing his jersey, spinning him around. He's, like, doing, like, gymnastics mm-hmm. just to get the ball out and, you know, was making pretty solid plays. Yeah, the deep balls. But, like, also, like, the announcers were kind of silly. They're like, oh, this ball had too much loft on it. I was like, dude, Verne Tucker could have come back in on that ball and easily got it. Like, there's one of those. There's another that Tuck had. He just straight up dropped. It was devastating. There's another one that Marv had a pretty good shot at that I was surprised he wasn't able to come down with. So I also think, like, sometimes a quarterback gets blamed when receivers aren't exactly, like, you know, coming back to the ball and that, you know, holding on to passes. And but anyways, I thought he had a good game. I mean, he was scrambling well. He was moving well. He was dealing with Shane Scove, who, you know, is from my hometown and is the worst. So... is it Shane Scope?
It's Shane Scope. It's Shane Scope, who's the one that actually ended up breaking Jared's. Was it the collarbone or the shoulder?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just making sure. Okay. Good. So, I don't know. So you weren't that impressed, or like?
No. I thought Kevin had a great game. I'm just saying, why we kept trying to go for the deep ball when clearly Kevin was having a great game when he was throwing to the slot or when he was throwing like to his tight ends. It just didn't make sense to me when we weren't connecting with any of our deep threats at all, whether it was, you know, balls being too long or wide receivers not tracking the ball correctly. Like, we kept trying to go to it for some reason. Like, we kept trying to go for the explosive play when we would get, like, 20-yard chunks when we threw to our tight end. Like, my secondary note here, like, under that was, like, Anthony Miller arguably had the best game, in my opinion, in this game outside of Shane Vereen. Like, he came up clutch every time the ball was thrown to him over the middle, when he needed to catch it, when we needed a third down conversion or a first down. And he had three catches, but I think two of them are like real clutch, like third and long and we need you to convert, or like on a second, I think it was a second down, and he had like a 25-yard completion to like eat a bunch of yards. And I didn't realize how big the dude was until, like, I was rewatching this game and, like, looking up his stats. I was like, this is a very big, big tight end. And I'm excited because it's not the same size, but it's somewhat similar to, like, what we're going to see with DJ Rogers. So, exciting. Fingers crossed, excited. But, yeah, I mean, that was my thoughts about, like, the offense and the pass game. I didn't think that Kevin had a bad game. It was just I was just suspect of why we kept calling these deep ball passes when he didn't have enough time to even set up for the deep ball.
Yeah. Well, what was, in your mind, the offensive play of the game?
The offensive play of the game? I mean, it's that Shane run that set up his touchdown, right? The one where he bounced it to the outside and he just got to the edge and turned the corner. And I think it was the Stanford corner or the outside linebacker that just could not get the right angle on him to send him back inside. And he just ran right around him. And it was just his burst speed, just straight wide open.
So I like that choice. I'll tell you mine. It was the catch by Verne Tucker,
which was a great catch
for me on the outside back when we were in our own territory. And I forgot about this. Yeah. I should have brought this up. Oh, I totally forgot on the deep ball stuff. Oh man. And I was just going to give this whole glowing thing to Tuck. But anyways, on the four plays after Tuck makes this awesome catch on the outside that saves us from having to punt the ball away. And we've already talked about how bad special teams was. Massive play. And then I think we ended up scoring on that drive, the touchdown to Marv Jones. So it was an incredibly important play. That's why that one's my choice. But four plays after that, they have Tuck on the outside, and he beats his defender over the top.
I know what you're talking about.
And he just doesn't try to catch the ball. Looking at Riley's face, he's like, what the hell? It's like, what? And I replayed it. And I went back. I was like, was it really that not catchable? It was like within arm's reach. He just didn't put his arms out. It was I have no idea.
He like,
I have no
he idea. Like held up his run and he didn't even extend his arms. Like, I think if he had kept running, the ball would have hit him perfectly in stride.
Yeah, it might have hit him in the helmet.
Yeah, I don't think he even knew. I think the thing was, like, the announcers were like, I don't think he even turned his head. Like, they said something along those lines. And I think that's true. I don't think he even knew that the ball was thrown to him until he stopped running and he saw the ball drop, like, on the ground in front of him.
That's, like, crazy. Like, what is happening? Yeah, that was so weird. But, yeah, I would say that tuck catch, just that was amazing. That toe tap, mm-hmm. diving, out of bounds, keep possession in an era where it was really hard to get referees to call that a completion.
Yep.
Oh, that was awesome.
I mean, there were a couple of those where, like, if it was in, like, today's, like, modern game, like, there was a deep ball to tuck with 3 minutes left in the second quarter. And then right as it's in the end zone and he's like, it's like right in front of the goalpost and he like jumps up to go for it. And then you see Sherman behind him with like a little shove, like right before the ball gets to his catch radius. And like, if it was now, that's a PI flag thrown right away. Cause you saw Sherman's, one of his hands extend onto Tucker's jersey, but like they didn't call anything on that play. It was just an incomplete pass. And I was like, that's the thing, like with watching these old games, is that the emphasis of what referees are looking at is different now. So that would have been a clear PI in my opinion, but no PI in the game. Yeah. And then Richard Sherman playing in this game was like, it's like super weird throwback.
Dude, he played well.
He had the first interception of the game. Very, very good. Yeah.
That was so weird. I mean, he got burned by Tucker early, and I was like, oh, okay. And then he had that really nice pass breakup in the end zone on that crossing route, and then had the pick play, and I was like, okay, Sherman's here. And then Shane whooped him, and I was like, oh, yes. So, but yeah, he played really well. All right, so one more pop quiz trivia for you.
Ooh.
I want you to name off the top of your head every single player that went to the NFL.
From this game?
Yep. Both sides.
Okay. Shane Vereen. Brian Anger. Marvin Jones. Jeremy Ross. Tavecchio. Are we saying played in the league or just got to the NFL?
Played in the league.
Did Sid Kwan end up playing? Did he actually play or was he just like part of the Broncos for a while?
I don't remember him being on the field.
Yeah. Mike Muhammad? I believe so.
I don't know. I'm not counting either of those two.
Okay, that's fine. Cameron Jordan, Chris Conte, Tyson Alualu. And then for Stanford, it's Toby Gearhart, Andrew Luck. I believe David DeCastro.
Nice.
Jonathan Martin.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I also forgot Mitchell Schwartz.
Wow, you're going to get all of them. This is great because officially, at first I was like, oh, there's no, you're meandering. You're going for the reaches. Yeah. But now I think you're coming through.
Kobe Fleener.
Yep.
Did one of the Whalens play in the NFL?
I don't remember.
Okay. And then I don't know if Owusu actually ended up playing in the NFL.
Ernest? He was on the practice squad with the Vikings, but I don't think he ever played.
Okay. And then Richard Sherman. And then Shane Scove.
Yep.
And that's it for me. I can't think of anybody else that was on that.
You're missing one, which was the toughest one that I had on my list.
Ooh. Hit me.
And that is Verann Tucker. He played for the Chiefs and caught a touchdown. He has an NFL touchdown. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I went on a cruise with him and Marv Jones actually on spring break. It was really fun. And but yeah, he ended up catching a touchdown for the Chiefs. And yeah, he got some, I think it was like 1 year in the NFL. But yeah, he was there.
Dang,
Otherwise, you
I did
got
not know that.
every single one. I am impressed. I did not think you were going to go for Mitchell Schwartz because he was just a freshman playing in this game, I think. Or
Yeah.
no. No.
A sophomore? So I believe he was a sophomore in this game.
Yeah, he's young. And then
Yeah.
I didn't think that you were going to get DeCastro and John Martin
Yeah.
for Stanford. Really, really good. Yeah, that's a lot of NFL talent. A lot of NFL talent.
That's a lot of NFL talent across both offensive lines and both defensive lines. Like, I mean, just look at Cal's defensive line alone. You had two guys that were drafted in the first round. And one is arguably like one of the greatest defensive ends. Like he's with his stat line, like Cameron Jordan is a Hall of Fame player. Like he will be in the Hall of Fame at some point.
Yeah.
We had all those guys in this game
yeah
playing.
yeah so true.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
I have two more things.
Give them to me. I think I'm out of points actually.
Okay, so
So.
let's go to the announcers.
It's all
So I
you.
started
Yep.
off very positive with the announcers. My first comment was that they were way better than Pac-12 Network. And then I immediately said, never mind, they just called Kevin Riley Mike Riley. And then they called the axe a razor blade on a stick. And I was like,
Yep.
how dare you? And then there was a play when they called the down and distance. And I wanted to ask you, is it hard to see the down and distance from the Stanford press box?
Not really. It's a pretty good view.
That's a good view. Okay, well then,
Yeah.
another example, and then my last one was just like, yeah, example number four, why these announcers are garbage. So they're really, really bad. And at first, I was so positive. I was like, oh, maybe I missed the Versus Network. Nope, don't miss it.
No, Lewis Johnson, who is the sideline reporter, is actually on Pac-12 Network.
Yeah. Okay. He seems cool.
Yeah. I think Lewis is great. Lewis is like perfect for to being a like a sideline reporter. He has the demeanor to do it.
And
But yeah.
the other thing, actually, I
All
have
right, what is
two
it?
more.
Hit me.
Did
I
you
love it.
notice all? Did you notice anything in regards to the attire that the Cal team was wearing on the sideline?
The attire that we are Nike?
Yeah, true.
Other than that, no.
I have worn the sweatpants that you see all of them in. The pullover that you see all of them in, like every single one of those items that are on that sideline, even the Java jumpsuit. I had that. I just gave it away, but I had that Java jumpsuit. All of those. I still had all of those up until this year. I still have the sweatpants, and I've worn those in your house.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen those. Isn't that the one that has a hole in
Oh yeah, I mean everything is. Yeah, it's not. They're all in rough shape now.
it? Hey, in terms of sweat, like sweatpants and sweatshirt clothing, like that's pristine condition. Like those ones are the ones that are the most comfortable because you've worn them so much that they've like thinned out and it just feels so nice.
It's definitely impressive with Nike making that stuff that lasts that long. I was like, oh, this is so funny. Like literally my whole closet was this outfit. Yeah. I used to walk around campus and people would think I was a football player, and people come up to me in class, are you playing on the football team? I'm like, no. I'm a student manager. One time I was like, yeah, I'm a kicker. Tried wide receiver once, and they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not. All right, and my last one. Whose life was forever altered by this game?
Whose
Yep,
life?
it was never the same after this game.
Wow, Mike
No,
Muhammad?
but probably. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I guess technically, yes, but not the person I was thinking of.
I have no
There's
idea.
one person who attended this game whose life almost immediately after was never the same.
Who attended this game?
Big clue.
Was it you?
I'm wondering, to the fans out there listening, if you've made it to minute 50, let us know. Tweet at us your guesses. I'm curious. And then I guess I'll leave a pause so that... So,
no, or we'll reveal the answer next
no
week.
Way, no way, no way, no way. We got to reveal it now. We'll just drum roll. Drum roll.
Okay. Drum roll.
Tiger Woods is good old Tiger. His life was never the same. Came in to be honored as the official halftime, you know, honoree for Stanford. I believe
That's
he was
right.
maybe in being put in the Hall of Fame. And he said, yeah. Stanford's going to win, and they lost. And 4 days later, his wife found out that he, you know, had an inability to stop himself from being with many women. So, yeah, that was it. Because I remember, I was like, dude, your life, you're, nope, it was never the same after this, Tiger. Never the same.
Wow, I forgot about that little, like, tidbit of history.
Yep. The infamous Tiger yeah. halftime.
Yeah.
Stanford's gonna win. Nope.
Wow.
No, they're not. And also, your golf career will never be the same.
Yeah. Wow. That's a throwback. That's a blast. That's a legit blast from the
yep.
past.
It's good times, dude. I'm glad we have the axe back. Despite all the craziness,
yeah.
I do tell myself, almost on a daily basis, that we do have the axe, and it is with us.
It is somewhere on campus.
And if we don't play until 2022, guess where the axe is?
We still have the axe. Yeah, any closing thoughts you got before
where
we
were
wrap
you
this
sitting
up?
For this game?
I watched at home. I
no
wasn't
rally
actually
comp?
At this game. I was only in rally comp my freshman year, so yeah, no. I watched this at home. Yeah. On the Rivers Network.
The one and only.
I think I'm pretty sure I remember what I was eating too. I'm pretty sure it was a bag of Doritos Cooler Ranch. And I think like a soda of like a ginger ale or something.
Wow, how mature of you.
Yeah. I like ginger ale. I've loved ginger ale ever since I was like a
I was sitting
a
down with
kid.
My crumpets and tea, and I watched the Stanford Lidlian Junior Stanford University play against the University of California, Berkeley in a game of football. yeah, that was good time. It was a good time. And shout out to all those players. It was awesome to be a part of it, and they played so hard to win that game, and that was a huge highlight. So really, really fun.
That they did. That's pretty much it. Andy, mm-hmm. I have a question for you. So a buddy of ours, of the podcast, sent us a very, very nice print picture. It's, if you guys don't know, Section 925 on Twitter or section925.com. They cover a lot of the Bay Area sports. And Connor, who writes for their site and basically runs it, was actually on hand at the Ole Miss game in this past year. So he took a bunch of photos and he sent them my way, and we used a few of them for our like our write-ups on the RIP old CGB site. And he actually printed out like a fairly large picture of Nico Remigio, like from behind, and it's like looking up into the stands. And it has, like, it says Home of the Rebels, like, behind him, like, in slightly blurred out. It's a great picture. I was thinking we could do this as a giveaway to one of our fans who is listening to this. And I was wondering if you had any ideas for how we can give this away. Do you want to do a random giveaway? Do you want to do, like, tell, like, your best, like, Cal football memory and we pick one and we send it to them? What are your thoughts?
Great question. Maybe we choose a random past Cal football player's jersey number, and whoever guesses the number first wins. I like that. I like maybe the football memory thing too. It's hard to think on the spot, but I am on board with, you know, if you like the football memory one, let's do that.
Or should we, since we talked about the 09 game, should we base it on the 09 game?
Okay.
Like, if you have a football memory about the 2009 big game, send it in, and the one we like the most, we'll send you this picture.
Done. Sounds great.
All right. Yeah, so Twitter, DM us your favorite, your story from the 2009 big game, and we'll send you the photo, and along with publishing that story on our Twitter account and all that as well. So, yeah, do that. We'll put a deadline on it for, let's say, Wednesday of next week. So give everyone a week. So April 22nd is your deadline to send it in, and we'll pick from there. And the winner, we will send you this very, 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 very nice photo from the Ole Miss game of Nico Remigio. And with that, that's it. We're done here. You've been listening to the Golden Bearcast, part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Rob Huang. You can find me on Twitter at Rob11HWG. You can find Andy at
Andy JV Smoke.
You can find all our stuff at writeforcalifornia.com. Or if you're listening to this podcast, you probably found us somehow, so you're listening on the right channel. And with that, as always, go Bears.
Go Bears.